We're talking to lawyers, and that means we're being hosted all week at O'Brien and Levine Court Reporting Solutions. And this means also that this is Radio Entrepreneurs. And the third component means that I'm with Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Hi, Mark.
Jeff, great to be with you and this legal space and speaking to some of the top attorneys in Boston is like the playoffs and World Series combined.
Great. Great. Thanks, Mark. And my name again is Jeffrey Davis. I am the host of Radio Entrepreneurs and also the chairman and founder of Mage LLC, management consulting firm. And if you want to send me a message and be on Radio Entrepreneurs or know people to be on Radio Entrepreneurs, just contact me on my LinkedIn. Glad to talk to you. Glad to help out. Our next guest, watch this, Mark. I'm going to get it just the way you want me to. Pat Clendenin of Davis Mom Dagestine, right?
Yes.
I got it all right?
Yes.
I'm done.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, Pat,
thank you for coming on.
You have an interesting area that we love talking about. You're a partner, litigation and risk management development in the area of cyber liability. And I guess right now, especially after the elections, this whole tweeting, WikiLeaks, because the WikiLeaks guy had a bias. He didn't like Hillary, and that's okay. I'm not saying he shouldn't dislike Hillary, but, you know, he had a bias, and it worked. He influenced the whole election, and there were a lot of leaks going on. So you seem to be right in the core of a very important part of the legal world today.
Right, and it's interesting because I've been practicing in Boston for 23 years, and to see the evolution from paper and fax to email and now text, and that's both managing our own information within a law firm, but also working with clients and managing litigation. So this has really become a national issue in so many different ways. And one of the significant ways that it's affected trial lawyers is in managing electronic discovery. And we all know in practicing in litigation that discovery is the most expensive part of the process, taking depositions. And you're supposed to disclose information so that's a full, fair, and cost-effective process. But with the explosion of information from handhelds to data in different parts of a client's database, it's become difficult to manage. But there are some good signs that are coming down the road. And the first one is that the technology is caught up. So there's technology-assisted review. There are fabulous providers that can collect and cull and deduplicate data so that in producing information in litigation, it's progressively getting less and less expensive. And honestly, from my own experience starting out as a young associate, it's a lot nicer to review documents online than thumbing through boxes and putting sticky notes on them. So there are some benefits to it. It's still something that, you know, the process, the whole judicial system and the lawyers are working on.
What are the principal type cases, though, when we talk about cyber liability that you're working on? Is it, like as Jeffrey said, people where reputation is concerned, leaking private information? And then obviously when you look at what's going on with the Targets, the Home Depots of the world, and continually happens, do you represent a lot of the companies that are dealing with these issues?
Well, I work with my partners both on risk management and also when litigation occurs. So the principal vehicle for this kind of litigation is class actions.
Right.
And one of the interesting developments in that area is that there's been a lot of dispute about whether a class can be certified when personally identifiable information or personal health information is leaked for one reason or another, because oftentimes the class representative can't show a specific harm that has occurred. So there's this whole standing argument.
Correct.
And there have been a couple cases that have come out recently out of the Sixth Circuit and the Seventh Circuit that have indicated that, yes, you have to show harm or an objectively reasonable risk or threat of harm.
Right.
And so for companies, what that means is if you get a breach and the data is not remediated quickly, then it's more likely that you're going to have a class action because the standing, they don't have to show specifically that Jeffrey Davis's identity was stolen and there's somebody in Beverly Hills charging your credit card to the tune of $5,000 a day. So that's not necessarily something you need to show in the class context anymore. So, and this really applies to all sizes of businesses, and it applies to law firms, because we have clients that are auditing us. We're auditing our vendors. So I think for the listeners out there, it's important for people to understand that when you're entrusted with confidential information, whether you're a law firm or another business, that you have to do your best to maintain its confidentiality.
Now, do you also, besides the obviously the class actions that you're involved with, do you also work with the state? Because obviously there's a separate issue when there's a leak where the attorney general or the state or federal government, attorney general or the federal government gets involved in terms of prosecutions, correct?
Correct. And in that instance, I haven't had a case directly where I was opposed to the attorney general or the federal government, but one of my partners who focuses most of his practice in that area, so we work together and support each other on that issue. But that raises a really good point, because as whether you're a small business or a large business, it's obviously very important to have some kind of insurance for this potential occurrence. And you can't just check the box and say, I have cyber liability insurance. You have to really understand your own business, understand your own data, and then work with the carriers and your service providers so that you have language that will cover the eventuality that the AG comes knocking on your door, the feds come knocking on your door. Because if you don't have coverage for defense of those lawsuits, it really can be crippling to a business. And I've been in situations where, this is a different regulatory area, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, where I've had a client who didn't have coverage for Telephone Consumer Protection Act class actions, and he had a very, very defensible case. And the client decided to wind his business down, which is very unfortunate.
Now, when you work with your clients, obviously, you get it as far as the litigation. So that went down that road, but in the beginning, when you're meeting a client, you're really collaborating too, correct? Because that way you help them plan the whole process to prevent this.
Particularly when you're dealing with a business, a medium-sized business, or even a small business where there's a lot of overlap between the officers and the directors, or they may not have a general counsel. Oftentimes, my partners and I will work together to prepare the board, because this really is a board-level issue, and there already has been some litigation around the country where if you're not prepared, because it's not necessarily that the breach occurs, because the hackers are so sophisticated and things are changing all the time, it's how you respond. Do you have a written information security plan? Do you have employee training? If you allow your employees to bring their own devices into the workplace, are you educating them on how to maintain secure connections? Because in this competitive economy, you want your employees to have freedom to do work wherever they can.
And be creative.
And
work virtual. It's more the,
Work virtual. I mean, that's a tremendous benefit for me, for someone who kind of grew up going to the office every day, bringing work home. And then when I had to work, I went in the office. I love working from home. But the risk, what I'm saying is that if you're not prepared and there's a significant impact on your business, particularly if you're a public company, you may get shareholder litigation, and they may claim that it was a breach of fiduciary duty. And some of the cases that have come down over the last couple of years, even in cases where, let me see if I can get the name, in cases where there have been significant breaches.
You're an attorney, you just happen to have 27 pages.
27 pages in annotations. The litigation was dismissed because even though there was a breach, their preparation and the response was reasonable. So that's really the message I'm trying to send. And I work with my corporate partners and my regulatory partners to help businesses get prepared so that when the litigation occurs, whether it's from shareholder litigation or class action litigation or government litigation, that we're prepared with a story, that we had done our planning. So none of it's ever perfect, but I think the message I think we should all get out to the community is that You should have a written information security plan. You should work with your employees to be prepared to protect the information. And then the other comment I would make on the national importance, I think this is virtually one of the only bipartisan bills that made it through Congress within the last 7 months, the Defend Against Trade Secrets Act.
Interesting.
So it made, Congress got together and said, protecting our nation's trade secrets against international or internal threats is significant, such that the 50-state patchwork of trade secret law, which is like a customer list or a process or a blueprint that adds value to your business and you keep it confidential, that is now a national cause of action with some additional remedies that weren't necessarily available in all the different states. But what that emphasizes is that this dialogue that we're all having about cybersecurity and information is that it should include trade secrets, because people are not always going in to get the information to use credit cards or health information. They may be going in to steal your blueprints.
Correct.
Or your customer list.
Well, correct. Touchy subject. I was listening the whole time. I didn't have a lot to say. You were on a roll. Pat, if somebody wants to protect themselves, I mean, you're a big time insurance policy. How do they find you?
Well, I think I am at right downtown here in Boston at Davis Mom and D'Augustine at One Boston Place on the 37th floor.
DavisMom.com?
Yes, www.davismom.com.
And the phone number?
617-589-3789.
Excellent. Nobody ever gets off of Radio Entrepreneurs without Mark Z asking for their phone number. You know?
I don't want him to apply certain things. I just think it's important for our listeners who are not at their computers.
He's an old Rolodex phone guy.
I love the radio, too.
You know, he's showing his age. Well, Pat, great having you on the show again. Will you come back again and talk to us about some cases?
I would love to. I really, really appreciate you hosting me today. And
you might find this
welcome.
Hard to believe, but we love attorneys.
We do.
Thank you.
When you're not billing us, we love you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm here with Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. We're at O'Brien and Levine Court Reporting Solutions, our great hosts. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.